Welcome to the Flourishing Practitioners Podcast, where we talk all things about space holding, caring for our clients, and succeeding in our businesses. We explore the wisdom from coaches, counselors, and healers. My name's Gabrielle Walker, and I'm so honored that you're here. Let's dive in. This podcast was actually recorded in 2020 when I began this project, and I've decided to re-edit some of the interviews that are really beautiful and relevant to our world and our life in the current day. Re-editing these has been a really beautiful process because at the time I had a sense of being more focused on editing than the actual podcast, and I feel over time I've learned little tips and tricks that just make things flow more. It's been a cool learning process to see my own insecurities about my voice and about certain topics, and just to trust that these messages reach where they need to. This is a really nourishing conversation coming out of the Miri Miri Wānanga this week. It was so beautiful to listen this morning and just feel that total aroha, that total love that women can give a woman when we tap into that divine place of giving and receiving. I can't wait to hear what you all think of this and for you to receive her energy.
So blessed to have you with us today. We met in Melbourne for the pregnancy massage course, and your work sparked an interest for me and your work, and I wanted to learn more. I'd never actually heard about it before. There was a few similarities, like the floor work and things like that. How would you describe yourself?
Thank you for having me. It has been a while since we've seen each other, so it's nice to see another friendly face amongst everything that's going on. Yes, my name is Hatike. I was born and raised in Melbourne. My parents are originally from Turkey, so they've migrated here about 50 years ago. Brought up as a true blue Melbournian, and I am married to a Singaporean, which is where my interest in cultural massage came about. I have two children, so I actually started learning about all of this confinement process whilst I was pregnant with my firstborn. I didn't know anything about confinement or what it was. At the moment, my husband said, "So will you be practicing confinement once you give birth?" And I said, "I'm sort of imprisoned." It says confined, so it must be in a small space. He said, "No, quite the opposite, actually. In the moment you give birth and you come home, the first 40 days of your postpartum period, a woman stays at home, rests and heals. And we have people from the outside coming in and helping her with that journey. So it's things like providing specific meals for her to help, you know, nourish her body, nourish her soul, specific drinks that you drink. And more importantly, a woman comes to your house and gives you a massage. And this could be anything from one session to about 15 sessions. That's not how I thought postpartum would be, because you hear society telling you, you know, you're going to be a fantastic mum. The next day you go out and you're out in the streets going for a walk with your baby and sipping on your latte. So staying at home and this rest and this healing was really interesting. And I did it. It was the best thing I've ever done.
How did you find the process for you personally?
I enjoyed it a lot. The process itself, it was a good and smooth transitioning into motherhood. So I had gotten pregnancy massages during my pregnancy, but having someone come and read a few prayers before they start and really break it down for me, talk whilst we were in the massage and say, you know, this is what's happening to your body now. You're going to start having milk flowing in. And people tell you the journey from conception until you deliver, and that there's nothing else after that. So to have somebody come into my home where it was my comfort zone was very, very helpful. Once I started doing that, when my sister fell pregnant, we couldn't find anybody to do it for her. So I said, I've got this opportunity. I was living overseas at the time in Malaysia. So I started studying it. And so I became a traditional postnatal massage therapist, and the first person I did it for was my sister.
Oh, that's amazing.
Absolutely. Something that my sister definitely enjoyed more than me. Turned it more intimate and more personal. Good for her. And good for me, because I was able to provide that for her.
so you could get that feedback more openly. Because sometimes when we start our practice, we're a bit nervous and we're not sure.
And breaking down that barrier in between your client and yourself to be able to establish a good relationship. Because at the end of the day, I'm from a Muslim background, so we believe in Islam. For us, physical contact is, it's more than just touching. Is the energy that you give off to one another. You want to establish that energy, that wave to one another. You want to be positive.
Do the practices in that period have specific terms that you use?
So the traditional Malay word for it is urut. So we do urut and we call is another word we use with. We use a hot river stone. We heat up a river stone and we compress that along the body, allowing any toxins to get to escape from the body. So we're trying to reduce inflammation. And these are all for the postpartum healing, not during pregnancy. But so urut is probably the term.
How long does the period usually last?
It varies between culture to culture. Majority of the people that do practice it are either from Southeast Asian background or African. Africans still practice it. Generally, it goes between 30 to 90 days. Very, very unlikely that it's more than that. Generally, it is 40 days. I know that in Chinese culture, it's 30 days. So Malay and Indian culture practice it for 40 to 44 days. It feels like a long time when you're in the confinement. You're just spending time with you and your baby. That connection that you are having, the time passes by so fast, you're like, wow, he's a month old.
Is there any other ways that you would describe it for people that maybe can't picture it from our westernized view? Or?
Well, absolutely. I can break it down a little bit. What will happen is, depending on the method that you give birth, a lot of women I know are opting for a more home birth. If you do give birth at home, you're already at your home. Whereas if you give birth at a hospital, you'll come home and your confinement starts the moment you come home. And there are certain things that we do. For example, you don't drink any cold water, only lukewarm or boiled water. We don't have anything that's cooling on the body. When I mean cooling on the body, it seems like peppermint, green teas, cucumbers. So we try and keep heat within the womb space because the baby was in that womb, and a woman who's pregnant has a higher body temperature than your average woman. So we want to be able to retain that heat in the womb space until she's recovered. We wrap the body up every single day. When I mean the body, it's from right under the breast till just below your pelvic bone. There's three types of wraps, which is called a bulkhorn, that we wrap around. And you'll see it, a lot of Thai practice also has this as well, where they tie it up. And we tie up the body, keep that warm. We cover our feet with socks, so we try not to get cold coming into the body. And you can get someone to cook for you if you do have that networking or, you know, some sort of support. And you eat nourished foods, wholesome foods, you sleep, and you feed baby, and that's it. That's all you do. You rest. You do. What you do during that time is up to you. We try and say, you know, increase your reading at that time, in terms of this, because your babies, we'll pick up on these. Try and stay away from negativity or things that are not good for your soul in general. You know, a lot of people think that horror movies aren't, you know, don't have any effect, but, you know, both Islamically, it affects your spirituality. So we try and limit things that show negativity coming into the body, whether it's physically, mentally, emotionally. So keeping happy thoughts and using positive words, a lot of those reinforcements really help in a woman transitioning into motherhood.
We have the same belief about horror movies as well.
Oh, really?
Certain music, you know, like you shouldn't listen to certain, well, not that you shouldn't, but that different vibration.
Yes. And that's the beauty about, you know, it doesn't matter what background you are. Sometimes, you know, we believe in the same thing. I always say to my husband, if only people were more inclined to talk about things that they can relate to rather than things that, that separate them. We will be in a different position altogether.
Totally. And is there a spiritual meaning behind the number of days that or was there traditionally?
There is religiously. So they say that the first 40 days is when a woman is more susceptible to falling sick. So that's why they say the first 40 days. And I don't know that even now I look at medically, they say 6 weeks postpartum. So you get that postpartum check at 6 weeks, which comes from that between 40 to 44 days. So I'm guessing there's a science behind it. I don't know the science though. But I do know that religiously it's more for your physical health to refrain from things that are too hard on the body, too tiring on the body. So we try and avoid it.
You mentioned that you practice on the floor often. So what's the difference, say, from a table practice?
Sometimes it's a lot of people think it's personal. Culturally, Malay women do practice on the floor only because they're able to pull the energy up from the ground better than by standing. Because when you're sitting, you're not exerting too much energy using your hands when you're massaging. You can get that strength from your lower part of your body. So you're really able to bring that force up and without, you know, causing too much pressure on your hands. For me personally, I find that it's easier to maneuver around my client's body. So to be able to rotate, and it's easier and smoother. So I find that that really helps. And I feel like, you know, in another way, it's keeping me grounded. For me, if a lot of it is also how you're portraying yourself. I'd like to be on the ground with you. So I'm on the same level as you. You know, we're in this together. So I'm not standing above you. I'm not higher than you, but I come down low. We're together. We're on the same level.
Do you have the woman laying sideways similarly to how we learned? Or they're on their back and the front?
During pregnancy, yes, we do side to side. And that's a personal preference for me because I had pregnancy myself where I was on my back. My baby wasn't comfortable in that position, even though it's impossible, but was pulling onto my stomach. So I knew from myself I didn't enjoy that. And I didn't want to bring something else to someone that I know I wouldn't enjoy. With the postpartum, a lot of women that we do deal with, if it's a vaginal birth, they'll have a lot of tearing. They'll have a lot of pain in the vaginal area. Ask them to sit onto a table and cause some more pain. Or even a woman who's had a cesarean to climb up onto a table. It's not the most ideal position for them. My client's feedback has been that it's been working very well on the floor.
When you're doing prenatal, do you feel the connection between like the baby and mother?
Absolutely. I had babies kicking on me.
Yes.
But definitely. Some babies, I find that it calms them down a lot. And I have clients that say that night, I should be most amazing sleep. So for me, I do anything up to 36 weeks. It's more of a pain management, relaxation, soothing kind of massage. And anything after 36 weeks, we use acupressure to help get the baby moving a little bit more and, you know, get the body ready for labor. So it's two types of prenatal massage as well. But you definitely feel it, especially when we're doing the belly wrap. Oh, absolutely. And sometimes I have mothers that are snoring, so I'm like, I'm going to take it as a positive.
Women are coming in, they're just like, oh, that they get the spiritual nourishment.
Yeah.
And that you're recognizing, okay, there's a spirit of the baby as well as them.
Yes. And that's a spiritual connection that we're able to pass on to one another. And it's absolutely beautiful.
Was that cross-cultural, like practicing this practice in Australia, are there things that differ from, you know, when you were learning in Singapore or Malaysia that have to be practiced different here, or is it just adapted to each person?
Yeah, absolutely. With Singapore and Malaysia, because that's where I should have been learning and getting my training from, they are much more spiritual and they bring on the philosophies and the practices more from a spiritual connection or a religious place. It's almost as though it's more traditional and it's more based on herbal remedies and centuries of practice. So it's things that are passed on, and it's not necessarily in the form of a degree or in the form of you need this specific certification, which, I mean, nowadays, yes, you know, you do want to get that qualification, but for them, it's the knowledge that's passed down from all the elders, from all the people that have been practicing, and it's proven methods that work. ashamed that in Australia, we're fortunate enough to have the science behind it and the rules and the regulation, because we do have advanced technology where we're able to practice these and get it from places that have tested it. So for me, being able to almost bring these two cultures, or these, I don't want to say worlds, but two different practices together and infusing that. So it's using the science, but with also a traditional background or a traditional remedy as well. So they work in perfect harmony together. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it differs, but when they work together.
Do you find there's actually a lot of need in Australia from your experience?
First of all, I'd wish the government would allow private insurance to cover a lot more of our natural medicine. So for me, that is a huge thing, because we use a lot of traditional Chinese medicine, a lot of the herbs that are used in that. So for us in our practice, shunning the knowledge from different cultures, and we live in such a society that we're so diverse, there's so much that we are learning from one another, that if we are open to learning and to sharing with each other, who knows what we can achieve. So yeah. I would wish that we can have a lot more inclusions in regards to alternative medicine or alternative therapies besides what is just written out for us. You know, maybe sometime in the future, the possibility. There's always hope.
That women-centered care, right?
Absolutely. Women-centered everything. I mean, as Beyonce is saying, she runs the world.
And your own journey, was massage something you were always interested in, or was it something that just arose from the needs with your sister?
I would be the massage person in the house to begin with. Ever since we were young, my mother incorporated more of a family tradition for us, where every time my dad will come home from work, all four of us children will alternate in massaging his feet. So we'll get a tub of water and soak his feet. And it's just, you know, out of respect to say, you're working hard for us. So at the end of the day, we'll massage his feet just to show our appreciation and our gratefulness towards him. So I know I did it along the way, but I worked in a nursing home for many, many years with elderly patients. But until my own journey started with pregnancy, then I was really intrigued by everything that was happening to my body and how the changes and how one massage would make a world of a difference to my body. So I would say more so for myself, when my own journey was with my pregnancy, was where I sparked the interest.
Do you find that the women you work with all have different ways of interacting with the process or receiving massage in their pregnancy journey or post-pregnancy journey?
Absolutely. I mean, as individuals, we all give off a certain type of energy, or we all give off a certain type of aura to one another. It's hard to explain, because you can always feel that presence. You get the vibes, and we work according to the client's own cultural or own religious background. So before we start, we ask if there is anything they don't want us to do or say or touch anywhere. Getting that permission and asking them, I find for myself, is a very, very important aspect to helping a woman's journey, either during pregnancy or into motherhood.
And how have you found that you're working with these different women, like, impacts your own self or your own mothering?
A lot. More so than I thought it would. Because you're learning so much from one another. And as you would know yourself, dealing with different kinds of women. And I find that as women in nature, we're always giving. We're always giving off light. We're always sharing knowledge. We're always giving to one another. I learn a lot in terms of women who have had multiple births. They give me a lot of information to how to deal with my toddlers, how to deal with my toddlers. And for women who are going into motherhood, whether it's pregnancy or fourth trimester, a lot of love and nurturing that you see, which kind of brings you back. This is how it was in the very beginning. This is what we need to go back to, the nurturing, the comforting. Just, it's a gentle reminder constantly and constantly, a gentle reminder for myself personally to say, you are nurturing, you are caring, you are helping. And this isn't just for that woman, but for your children, for the people around you. It's how you present yourself, all of that. It's beautiful. I feel like I've found my awakening. I'm in the zone.
Yeah, I totally understand that. I feel the same. I've sort of found myself through body work, and I feel the most alive when I'm sharing. For me, there's something in that touch, connection, and sharing. And that's almost more highlighted because of the time we're in now, at least for me. I was sharing earlier how I've closed that in-person side of my business. And so now I'm having to like interrogate, well, what is it that I share and can I share it other ways? And
yeah,
touch is just so...
It's important. Yeah, we don't realize the how much we can give to one another by a human touch and everything that is going on. Now, more than ever, we realize how important touch is, how much it makes us feel alive.
Yeah. And maybe before I didn't realize from my side, and I'm not sure if you feel the same, but that it was also my side. You know, like it was always like, oh, I'm giving to them, yet. In this process, I'm recognizing, wow, I was receiving so much by them receiving.
Yes, absolutely. I couldn't agree with you more because we have a saying that the more you give, the more you will receive. And this is one of the most important foundations for Muslims because one of the pillars of Islam is that it's compulsory upon every single Muslim to give to charity. And God says to us, if you give, I will give you more. I will give you more than you give. And it's that act of making someone else happy, giving something to someone else to see their face. It's not always about us. Sometimes we give, but we don't understand where it's coming from. But you see that receiving end yourself. It's beautiful.
In your own beliefs or what comes to mind about practicing body work, what resonates with you in terms of like how energy is shifting through or what you're sharing with the woman?
Absolutely. Positive energy and giving, but at the same time, I'm receiving. So it's this vibration, this frequency that you're passing on to one another, this energy that is sometimes you can't explain it to someone who doesn't really understand how it feels. It's hard to explain, but you can feel that. And for me, I take a lot back from clients. And before we start, there are a few questions that I'd ask whether they'd like me to put some music on that they feel comfortable with. Would they like me to read some prayers? Just so we can get into the right mindset. And with every client, I always make an intention for myself. And my intention will always be the same for every client, which will be, oh God, I'm just the messenger passing on what you already know, what you already have given to this client. So with your power, please allow my hands to just give some help to this client to be able to help someone. Oh, if you don't want to say the word help, to pass on what you've learned is what I needed to do. If I can share one positive thing to a woman and to tell her, you know what, you are amazing. What you have done, whether you birthed or you haven't birthed, being a woman, you are amazing. You are an entity on your own. And to know that as women, we don't need anyone or anything. We are whole ourselves. If we know that, then we are unstoppable as women. We are unstoppable. We're a force to be reckoned with, and in a positive way. We can change the world. We can change, starting from ourselves, absolutely. Change ourselves and we change the world. When I go into every single client, that's the mindset that I go in with. We've got this. Put this together.
So interesting. I say such a similar prayer.
Really?
It's always like when I'm opening, I go through my own chanting and everything. Yes. But when I'm opening internally, I'm often saying, guides, angels, archangels, whatever, step forward and work through me to be here to support this person. Help them work through me because it's not me.
Yeah.
I'm just opening up that channel.
For that connection to them.
It was like almost when you're speaking, I'm like, oh, that's all actually the same intention that I enter because it's always a co-creation. And
it's always shared. Yeah. It's always shared. We're in this together, sharing this together. You know, when that one opens up or the other doesn't, it's just going to be one wave, one flow. So to be able to have this connection, it's a very powerful thing.
So with the herbs, was that part of your studies as well?
No, that wasn't. I consult with a few TCM practitioners and we do work together. Also, I'm in the moment, I'm trying to find a naturopath to help work with the medicine. I don't have the qualification, so it's not something that I can input myself. So I'll have to get it from someone who is qualified. But absolutely, getting it from somewhere that we know and that's a trusted source to be able to incorporate those kind of herbs which we know work wonders. And you want to get that consultation, those ideas from someone who does specialize in that. And that way you can incorporate that into your work. I have a friend that specializes in frankincense. So she does a lot of those incense burning, which is a very common practice amongst Arabs, where they burn incense. They don't just, you know, use the oil, they burn it. And apparently that gives off a lot of other qualities. So I'm looking into that as well. It's amazing because we think that we practice one thing, but there are so many parts of the world that everyone has different practices and they all work. They all work. So to be able to bring a little bit of something from this part of the world, bring something else from here, and to have it together, it's like you've got the world in your hand.
I like that description. It's that heart connection, especially when you're giving birth, because some of the process is so medicalized, which is more of like a masculine energy. And then it's like to bring in the rituals and the chanting.
So literally
humanizes it in a way, and you know, it makes it feel safe.
Yeah. And with women, that's what we want. We want to have that safety, especially during birth. You want something that's going to resemble you. You want something that's going to be a connection with you, because it's such a big thing that you're doing, bringing your human life into this world. It's hard work, but to be able to bring something from your own culture, something from your own religious background, whatever it may be, that helps, almost guides you through it all. So it's definitely an important perspective to have.
Yeah. That's so beautiful. Is there anything on your heart that you would want to share with people?
I'd like to say, in terms of what I do, I'd like to really encourage women to look into postpartum care, because you're taught all the first three trimesters, but no one ever tells you about trimester four. And in that time, a lot of women do go through baby blues or develop into postnatal depression. So look up into trimester four, look up into resting, into healing at home or wherever it may be for yourself, and take that in and learn about it, because it's huge. It's something that really can shift your perspective, that journey going into motherhood. And sometimes it's not even motherhood. Sometimes you've had a miscarriage or a stillbirth. To be able to accept that and to work through that in your fourth trimester as well, because like I said, it's not whether you birth or you don't. That journey itself is for all type of women, not just for the women who do give birth, but the ones that have miscarriages, the ones that have stillbirth, the ones that choose not to, cannot mother, to take that and learn something from that. And personally, I'd like to tell women to be more gentle on themselves, to be more loving on themselves, to be more compassionate to themselves, because a society we're in does not teach us that. They don't teach us to love our body the way it is, and that it doesn't have to be, you know, a specific way, or you don't have to believe a specific thing. You don't have to walk through a specific line. There's many, 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 many journeys. There's many ways to get to where you want to be. So it's not a one size fits all. It never is. To be into yourself. I think as women, we need to learn, we've got to be concerned for ourselves, because if we heal ourselves, we can heal the people around us. For mothers, this goes to all mothers. And as a mother myself, and I tell my husband too, I say, stop. I need to take time out. I need to step away. I need to do my own thing. For me, it puzzles. I sit down, even if it's for 5 minutes in a day, that I need my time. When I'm in the right state, I'll come back and I'll be able to give better. We're in this together, woman. We're in this together.
It's pretty cool to have a discussion. Like, you know, we're openly talk about pregnancy in a non-medicalized way, because women do it. We do it together, but it's not always shared beyond that. Nothing wrong with that. That's normal. But there's also a process of normalizing it. We create that space.
Sometimes I know that in certain cultures, they cannot talk about certain issues, for example, sex or miscarriages, it's almost like it's taboo. But if we can create this safe space, first and foremost between us, between women, and then start opening up individually, there's so much we can do, but collectively, we can do a lot more.
I experienced a miscarriage a few years ago, but the amount of hormones running through my body, and if I hadn't been able to share that with anyone, because you can't share it up to a certain time and these rules, it would have been so difficult to not have been able to speak about that. But having that feeling for myself that I could speak about that enabled that process to go through. I feel for women who don't have that ability to reply.
Exactly as you said, Gabrielle, to share, to validate what you're feeling or to validate what you are going through, to stop and pause for a minute and say, this is how I'm feeling. This is what's happening to my body. I'm going to stop. And I'm going to go through that. I'm going to work through it in whichever method you choose, whether it's in a spiritual way or a confinement method, however you choose to do it, to be able to say to yourself and the people around you, this is what I'm dealing with. This is what I'm going through. I need the space. I need the time. And everyone deals with it differently. And to
very
be
inspiring.
I think for you, for all of us that work in this field together, to be able to say to each other and to the clients that we work with, we need to shed some positive light. We need to share good vibes because we need this. We need this to live and breathe.
I know it sounds weird, but there's a lot of fear around, I'm only doing the prenatal, but there's a lot of fear around pregnancy massage and things like that. I find lots of clients who come to me as well. So they're like, people are like so lightly touching.
I call it fluffing around. Touching here and touching. Yeah, and breaking those stereotypes, breaking those, whoever has put there for us, even if you choose not to get the massage, for someone to say, I've had a few clients that, you know, during pregnancy said, I don't want to be touched as much. I said, that's fine. We can just together in this space talk to you, baby. Let's talk. I can just brush your hair or just massage your scalp if that helps. I'm here for you. Okay. No, that's what we're there for each other, but we are there for you because you need it.
I want to honor you because I had a breakthrough actually after our course because I had never seen a woman take off her hijab, you know, because we were all women.
Yes.
It was just such a, something in me shifted. It was this thing of like, because normally I wouldn't be in that space, you know, that many people that
have in their head. Yeah.
I would not normally get to witness that. So it was a real honor, actually.
Thank you.
It helps break down those barriers.
Absolutely.
And a conversation like this, and we have so many similarities in the way that we do things, in the way that we think, in the way that we feel.
We bleed the same. If we were all able to look at each other and to be more compassionate towards one another, to be more understanding. And as women, I cannot emphasize this enough, to be more gentle and loving towards one another. The world itself can be cruel, but we don't have to be cruel to one another. That's what I'd like to pass on, some good vibration.
That brings us towards the end, but do you have anything else you'd want to say about your journey? Anything? It's open for you.
I'm learning as I go. Every client, every time I do a different course for myself, I'm learning, and there's so much I want to share and give with everyone. I feel like I don't have enough time in my day to be able to pass that on. We're currently working on our website at the moment, so eventually by the end of the year, the website will be up and running, so I can post up things for women just to go through and read and feel enlightened a little bit.
Oh, how beautiful. Do you want to share your website or your socials with us at all?
Yeah, absolutely. They can follow me on Instagram or Facebook at the moment, Mumneadf. So Mumkneadf. And once our website is up and running, we've got the website ready, so it's mumneadf.com.au. Yeah, feel free to you're in Melbourne, let us know. Thank you for having me. Your work is amazing. You do so much for women, and having a spiritual aspect to it, I think is needed a lot more.
To close our connection and the connection for all those who will listen in the future, do you have a prayer?
We are here on this earth, one to serve you and to serve one another, to help one another, to love one another, allow our interactions with one another, allow our times with one another, be of fulfillment, be of love, be of understanding. Our time together with Gabrielle, and bless her journey and bless the work that she does. I pray that she succeeds in whatever she does. Thank you.
To you. I hope I do you justice.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.